Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Let's honor God's word tonight, can we, by standing? If you can, I just want to read the first two verses there for us, and then we'll move on down through the chapter as I preach. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes. Now, why would the Holy Spirit let us know that this is the third day? Yes, that's what they've been doing. That's right. They've been praying and fasting for 3 days. So Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house, or in other words, where she was. So it was, and I almost chuckle every time I read this, when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. Carol Walker, your husband just did a fantastic job this morning. And would you open us in prayer this morning? I'd love to hear you pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Esther's been involved in a 3-day prayer meeting with her staff and her servants, and she's asked the Jewish people, asked her cousin Mordecai to be and their Jewish family, brothers and sisters, to be praying and fasting, and that's what they've been doing. And you know, I think it was Trish that had a copy of the movie that was made about the book of Esther, One Night with the King, and I think they put it back here. And I would encourage you all to get that movie. It's at your house. How long is it going to be at your house? Okay, Wednesday. All right, let's let that thing circulate. I remember when they first, because I've always said, man, this would make a great movie. And it is a good, I think TBN did it, didn't they? I'm not sure, but it's a good one. One Night with the King. And so get your hands on that movie, drama, suspense, and all that come to life. But anyways, Esther's about to go into the king and intercede on behalf of her people, even though it would be considered very dangerous to do that. You see, in order getting an audience with the king at that time would be kind of like trying to get an audience with the Pope today. You had to get the king's permission in order to come into his presence. It took a... And so this story is really a great story of conviction and courage, but that also reminds me that Esther was standing up for her people, for righteousness and holiness and justice, and make no mistake about it, we need today, like no other time, do we need to take a stand. Now, we're not, as we talked about this morning, we can't do anything unkind or say anything that's obnoxious or slanderous, but we're to speak the truth in love. And most of the time, if somebody really does know that you love them and you care about them deeply, then you can speak truth to them. And it'll go deeply, it'll go far. And so that's what Esther's about to do. And so she puts on her royal apparel and her queenly garb, so to speak, and she's looking her very best. And I want to tell you, if Esther's looking her best, she's drop dead gorgeous. When you read through the book of Esther, you know this is a strikingly beautiful lady. And when the king sees her, I would just imagine, I don't know what the movie's like at this point, but when the king sees her standing across the way, he says, hubba hubba. I don't know what he said, but come to Papa. I don't know what he said. But anyways, he reaches out with the golden scepter, and she comes. You'll never meet anybody quite like me, but... And so he reaches out with that golden scepter, and she touches the end of it. And so that tells anyone and everyone she's been accepted into the presence of the king. Aren't you glad Dwight, our king, desires for us to come in? What do you open up the prayer meetings on Monday night with? And what does that verse say? We can come boldly to our King, into His throne of grace, to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We don't have to wait on somebody to extend the royal scepter. The blood of Jesus is much better than that. It's extended to all of us, and so we can come to our King anytime, anywhere, any place. Isn't that wonderful? Man, think about that, y'all. And we don't have to be drop-in gorgeous. Hallelujah. And you know what? God loves you just the way you are. You don't have to get fixed up for Him. He already knows all about your warts and your blemishes, and He knows, and He loves us anyway. And we can come into His presence anywhere, anytime we get ready. Man, what a blessing that is. And so we don't have to shrink and fear and worry, but Esther did. But now, the next player in this drama is the Old Testament Hitler, I call him, a man by the name of Haman. And he's upon the scene. Now, Haman's life in this kingdom drama illustrates a great truth for us this evening. Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin... The chickens are going to come home to roost. That's not something we like to think about. But I want to tell you, if Jesus didn't get away with our sin, what makes me think I can? Hello? And so Haman's life illustrates us that there is a payday for sin. And that's what I've entitled the message, Payday is Coming. So let's first of all look at a misleading invitation. Verse 3, and the king said to her, what do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom. You understand what the king's saying to her? Sweetie pie, honey, what do you want? Just tell me what you want. You got it. I'll give it to you. Blank check. So Esther answered, if it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I prepared for him. Then the king said, bring Haman quickly, that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And at the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, what is your petition? It shall be granted you. What is your request? Up to half the kingdom it shall be done. Then Esther answered and said, my petition and request is this. If I found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet which I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king has said. And so, after she's ushered into his presence, and she's standing there in all of her beauty, he said, Queen Esther, what do you want? What is it that you've come to me for? You just name it and I'll get it for you. He says, I'll give you up to half the kingdom. Just what do you want? Tell me what it is. And so immediately she says, I want to throw a banquet for you and your right-hand man Haman. And I want you to come to the banquet. Will you come? And folks, in those days, it was a tremendous honor to be invited to the queen's banquet. And so I think about Haman tonight, and what do you think old Haman's thinking about when he learns that the queen wants him to come to the banquet? with the king. Man, I'm somebody now. I've arrived. I am somebody. And I can just hear him singing the old Jefferson song, Moving On Up. I mean, he thinks he's the cat's meow now. And so the king and Haman go to this banquet that Esther has prepared for them. And she wined and dined them. And the king asked the queen, honey, what's this all about? What is it that you want? Surely you need something or you want something. Just tell me what you want and you can have it. And Esther said, well, I'm going to extend the banquet one more day. And I want you and I want Haman to come tomorrow. Because I'm fixing another banquet for you. And if you'll just do that, then I'll tell you what you want to know. I'll fill you in at that time. And, you know, when I first read that, I'm like, why is she doing that? Why is she doing another? I mean, how many of you girls really enjoy putting together one banquet and then one right next to it again on top of it? It's a lot of work, isn't it? And so that's what she's doing here. And I'm like, why is she doing it that way? Well, in the economy of God, timing is everything. And you see, we are not on our time schedule. We're on His. We things are not happening. You see, you may be here tonight. And you're wanting God to... Did you hear Maria this morning? I mean, she wanted God to heal her instantly. Did her healing come instantly? No. She had to go through radiation and chemo both. And I mean, they wore her little body out with that stuff. But she needed to go through that for some reason. And bless God, she did. You see, it's all about God's timing. And so... There's an appropriate time to do everything. Don't rush into making major decisions. Let God have His way. Take the time to pray about it. You know, if somebody's really pressuring you for an answer or pressuring you to sell you something right away, you know what you probably ought to do? See you later. Probably don't need to do that. You need to give God time to work and you know, that's what the book of Esther is all about, is about the providence of God. God's working behind the scenes. How many of you, I say this all the time, you know, what a great couple Ruth and Billy Graham were. I mean, Ruth Graham must have been an amazing woman to raise all those kids by herself while her husband's out gallivanting around preaching the gospel. She must have been an amazing, but you know what I read? You know what she said one time? She said, I'm so glad God didn't answer all of my prayers. She said, because I would have married the wrong man three times. It is so, so good to just wait on the Lord and let Him work. Let His providence work. And you may be here tonight and you know, Kendall, I think about you tonight. And how many months you waited on that job. And, you know, there's a part of me wanting to tell you, oh, why don't you go on down there to Publix? They're hiring somebody. You know, but now she waited on the Lord. And God has provided a job. Not just any job, but a job for her. God's working behind the scenes. We don't always know what He's doing. Amen? You may be having some trouble with some kids. Man, I hear it tears me all to pieces. Every week, just about, I hear something about a wayward son or daughter. And sometimes you just have to let that son or daughter go for a while and let God work and let God do what He needs to do. But God's timing is always perfect. And I've learned something in my 60-some-odd years. God's not usually early, but He's never late. And so that's what's going on here with these two banquets. The providence of God is at work. And I want to tell you, God is more than able to take care of my... He can take care of my children. He can take care of my grandchildren. He can take care of my wife. He can take care of my mom. He can take care of my in-laws. God is more than able to take care of anything and everything that comes down my path toward me. Amen? God always has a purpose. God always has a plan. And He's working that plan. And so the king grants Esther's request. He said, we'll be there. Haman and I both, we'll be there tomorrow. So now let's look at verse 9. And we see a conflicting emotion. Look at verse 9. So Haman went out that day. Haman, leaving the banquet, okay? Joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, and that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home. And he sent and called for his friends and his wife Zeresh. Then Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of his children, everything in which the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. Moreover, Haman said, Besides, Queen Esther invited no one but me to come in with the king to the banquet that she prepared. And tomorrow, I am again invited by her along with the king. Yet all this avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Well, Mordecai has been invited to the second banquet. He's been ushered into the presence of the king for a second time, been invited to the queen's a second time. And I think probably Mordecai's thinking now, you know, I'm so tight with the king, I might just wind up being the next king. And then he goes home. Haman, what did I say? Mordecai? I'm sorry, y'all. Thank you. He goes home all pumped up, slicked back. And what does he start to do? Brag and boast to his family about his money, his children, and his position. Did y'all catch the personal pronouns there in verse 11? Look at those. Then Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of his children, everything in which the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. I mean, Haman's got a bad case. I can't help it. Me, doesn't he? I mean, he's prideful. And he's sitting there bragging and boasting on himself and all the things that he's got. And you know, Proverbs 16:18 says what? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Anybody know what James says about God? God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's right. The Bible teaches us, now listen to me. The Bible teaches us that in the economy of God, the way up is down. If you want to be exalted in God's kingdom, you've got to be willing to be abased. You've got to be willing to be able to humble yourself as a lowly servant. You know, Haman's sitting here, turn with me to Philippians real quick. This just hit me. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in whom? Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he did what? He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. We are never more like Jesus than when we come to Him humbly. And that when we put ourselves, you know, you remember the two disciples? And they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus said, if you want to be first in my kingdom, you've got to be willing to be what? Because he says, the first will be last and the last shall be first. Humility. Humble of spirit. So Haman is bragging and boasting. You know what, folks? What it all boils down to is this. We don't have a lot to brag about. About all we've really got to brag about is Jesus. And we can brag on Him all day long. Amen? So, whatever you're going to do for God, you better do it today. Little does Haman know, his days are numbered. Verses 9b and 13 tell us, that old hard-headed, stubborn-willed Mordecai will not bow, he will not bend, he will not budge. He will not bow down to Haman. And what does 9b tell us? And that he did not stand or tremble before him. He was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Verse 13, yet all this avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. You know, you can tell a lot about a person by what it takes to upset him or her. I mean, this is something small. And yet it's something huge to Haman. It shows you what a little man he really is. Little things upset little people. Little things don't upset big people. And Haman's heart is filled with rage, anger, hatred, and bitterness towards Mordecai. And you know, hatred and bitterness lead to murder. And that, he doesn't realize it, but that's where he's headed. And I don't know, I don't even begin to know what our hearts are like in here. But friend, I want to tell you, if you've got bitterness in your heart towards someone or some people, it's not doing you any good at all. As a matter of fact, it's going to lead to destruction in your life. Over and over again, your New Testament epistles talk about bitterness and unforgiveness. If you've got any of that in your life tonight, man, let God deal with it. Roll that burden over onto Him. Listen, unfair things happen all the time. Bad things happen to God's people all the time. Look what happened to Jesus. And yet, while they're killing Him on the cross, what did He say? Lord, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Don't let that root of bitterness spring up in your life, because it'll ruin your life. And now look at verse 14 in closing. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let a gallows be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. Then go merrily with the king to the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, so he had the gallows made. So when Haman's wife and their friends heard what Mordecai would not do, that he would not bow down, he would not worship Haman, they came up with this unbelievable solution. And what a wife, Haman's wife. How would you like to run into her in a dark alley? Well, honey, just build a 75-foot tall gallows and we'll hang him high tomorrow. Let's just do that. And so, I've got a confession to make. I love old westerns. And I especially love Clint Eastwood old westerns. Did any of y'all see Hang 'em High yesterday? You didn't. It's probably good for you. But anyways, they tried to hang Clint Eastwood and he was innocent. And he spent the rest of the movie trying to get even with those who had tried to hang him. And I want to tell you what, the Bible says, God says, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay. We don't need to try to get even with anybody. God takes care of that. God is the one who gets justice is His, not ours. And so Haman says, well, honey pie, sweetie pie, that sounds like a good plan to me. And so he He goes to bed happy, and little did he know he would be building the gallows for Haman. They were being built for him. Your sin, my sin, if it's not taken care of, will destroy me. This is a true story. USA Today printed a story about a man who'd met a woman at a bar. And he took her home with him, and you can guess what all happened. And they spent the night together and slept together. The next morning he woke up and she was gone, and she left a little note there on the side of the bed that said, "Thanks for a wonderful evening." And so he gets up and goes to the bathroom smiling and notices some writing on his mirror. And there on his mirror in the bathroom, written in red lipstick, were these words: "Welcome to the wonderful world of AIDS." Sowing seeds of sin always leads to death. Haman was constructing his own cross. Haman was building his own gallows of judgment and death. And I want to tell you, why would anyone, you know, it doesn't even make any sense to go to hell. Why would you want to go to hell when somebody else went there for you? Why would you want to have to pay for your sin for all of eternity when Jesus paid it all? And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And folks are only going to die in one of two ways. You're either going to die in your sin and pay for those sins for all of eternity, or you're going to die in Jesus and be set completely free from your sin penalty. Jesus has paid the price. There's a payday for sin, and Jesus has made the payment. And just looking at your faces, I can tell y'all are thinking about folks. All of you right now have somebody on your heart and mind, don't you? There's going to be a payday for sin. Judgment day is coming. And yet Jesus went to our judgment for us. And he took all, I don't understand all that, but every putrid sin that's ever been committed were poured out on Jesus. And he gave his precious, sinless blood. He became the sacrifice for our sin. Every sin I have committed, every sin I commit, and every sin I ever will commit, Jesus paid the price. And so, if you're here tonight and you're not absolutely sure, you'd better get that issue settled. But I think the majority of us in here tonight are thinking about someone we know and someone we love. And the battle for that begins in prayer. Praying like there's no tomorrow. For an opportunity to share what Jesus has done for that loved one of yours. Father, I don't even begin to know who's all on our hearts and minds, but you do, because you've laid them on our heart. And I pray, God, that you might give us right now the courage and the conviction, that you'd make us like Esther, to do what we need to do. To stand in the gap for our friends and our family members. As we heard about in Sunday school, we've all got lost family members. Every one of us. We've got lost friends. And Lord, it doesn't even make sense that anybody would have to go to hell. Father, you created hell for the devil and his angels. It wasn't your will that any might perish and be eternally separated from you. That's why you sent your Son. And so, Lord, I believe tonight you're working behind the scenes, just like you were in the book of Esther, in that great story in the Old Testament. You're working behind the scenes. You're accomplishing your plan and your purpose. And a lot of that involves the folks that are hot and heavy on our heart and minds tonight. Oh God, help us to be men and women who will stand in the gap and pray for these loved ones, pray for these friends, and then have the courage and the conviction to go sit down with them and lovingly explain what the problem is and what the solution is. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Do a great work this week in the lives of my brothers and sisters. And as someone has already said, we know that your great work is coming and that you're going to do something right now in this city. Lord, I'd love to see 1,000 people saved even before the boat gets here. And God, you would too. And so, Lord, would you begin moving upon the hearts and minds of people that we're concerned about tonight, so that they might come to know Jesus. I could go on tonight praying about that very thing. Lord, we love you. And we're so grateful that you sent Jesus, your Son. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.